the last case for the day, which is Segrency versus Gonzalez.
May it please the court, my name is Justin Burton, and I'm here on behalf of the Zagarkhani family in a petition for review of the Board of Immigration Appeals decision. I'm starting to witness a troubling pattern of unsupported credibility determinations. I think in this case in particular, the judge, even though citing seven different reasons why the female respondent in this case lacked credibility, really were small and minor inconsistencies, except for the one reason where a certain summons calling her into the prosecutor's office was questioned and the authenticity of it was questioned. The investigation with the FDL laboratory concluded that there was no finding of fraud, although they suspected that it was questionable whether this is a valid document.
Well, they sort of said more than that. I mean, with respect to the one document, the cable from the embassy not only says that the court had no record, the authority had no record of issuing it, but it wasn't really in the book. I mean, they checked kind of a second place as well, the protocols, they called it. So I think you have to deal with the fact that the government reasonably decided that this was not a genuine document.
Although it's very unnerving. The FDL didn't come to the conclusion. I think the Department of State, when they sent out an investigator, came to the conclusion that it wasn't in the actual file.
It was neither in the file nor did the book sort of recording what gets put into the file have it, as I recall. There's a cable in the record.
I think we have to look at the corruption that takes place in the judiciary system where they abuse their power, not just the prosecutors, but I think the courts in Albania as well. It's deplorable, the record, where in the country reports indicating that there is rampant corruption in the judicial system.
Well, but the problem with that argument, though, is it takes us too far. Here we have the U.S. State Department, which, you know, sends people out to do these things, and they do their investigation, and they conclude in the cable that the certificate isn't valid. Now, true, I mean, Albania, like many countries, has a terrible problem with corruption, but that your argument is basically any document presented from Albania has to be presumed to be valid because there's no way of showing otherwise, and that can't be right either. I mean, the corruption is going to go in many directions.
Of course, and I do believe that the cable itself is somewhat questionable where a document which is unsigned, and we don't know the maker of the instrument who did the investigation. We know his name, but we don't know anything other than who he is, comes up with the conclusion that he went to this place and they didn't have it, and it wasn't in the file. We know it's that
so
going...
questioning the... I mean, this is the way the State Department does its business. I mean, they do cables like this. Are you saying it didn't come back into the State Department?
Well, at least we can obtain something that is signed and certified rather than just a cable from somebody who hires an individual who we don't know to go to the records, comb the records, and determine whether something was in there or not. Apparently, they also came up with an excuse of why they were doing it. The prosecutors know that Mr. Zagarkhani is in the United States. They also, their actions in going out and detaining Mrs. Zagarkhani was entirely inappropriate. They knew that, and I think it leads us to the next assumption is, would they keep these records where what they were doing was in violation even of Albanian law? I mean, we're looking at the evidence in front of us where something isn't signed, and we know how corrupt Albania is, and we're ignoring the full landscape of what we're dealing with. We're dealing with an individual who testified credibly before the court, whose wife came into the United States because her father, or the father-in-law, the male respondent's petitioner was beaten. That was valid. We know that the child was harassed. even though they didn't go into depth in it. But I think the father's beating alone may be enough. We have the doctor's testimony that he came and he saw the father in this beating and abuse. I think we're looking at this in a vacuum, and I think that's part of the problem in the immigration court and the board, that they're looking at these one little thing in a vacuum of the overall landscape of the claim. And the claim is that they'll be subject to persecution by either the Democratic Party or the Communist Party.
But that is the problem. I mean, this is the guy who basically is saying the Democratic Party, who are not in power, are somehow going to persecute me. And when we recall that that's got to be done under the auspices somehow of the state, that's a problem. The Socialist Party, which is, as you're sort of implying, is kind of the successor of the Communist Party, but there's been some splintering over the last decade in the country, is in power. We don't know what they would do either. I mean, I don't know whether that's focusing on your claim of future persecution or whether it's focusing on your claim of past persecution. But
I think to add some light into what's going on in this case, the Democrats are actually back in power now as of just recently. But nevertheless, I still think Zagarkhani established what he needed to establish. I think the analysis by the immigration court was severely lacking. They came to the in order to establish a refugee status, you must show persecution or well-founded fear of persecution. I think the persecution's here. The analysis started going
on account of something. I mean, people obviously thought this guy was involved in a bad way in the pyramid schemes, and maybe he was just a victim of them in some ways because he was a tax collector and made himself thoroughly unpopular with everybody, I guess. What class is he in? What's his group for persecution purposes?
It would be his political opinion, because in this type of case where his claim states that he was persecuted because he didn't go out and collect funds for a certain political party. Mm-hmm. That's his own political opinion. It turned into a political opinion that he wouldn't solicit monies unlawfully in corrupt practices, as the socialists and certainly the Democrats were doing at the time, to fund their election bids. I mean, that in and of itself is a political basis. I mean, the fact that they wouldn't support the Democratic Party is his own political opinion. Mm-hmm. I think also going back into the analysis on well-founded fear of persecution, yes, we found on account of either his particular social group, whatever he'd fall into, or his political opinion, but the analysis indicated that he had a subjective fear of reprisals if he was to go back. He had that for his well-founded fear of persecution. However, they never went into the next question, was it reasonably objective? And there was no question, there's absolutely no analysis towards it. And clearly, by the country reports, it shows how corrupt the entire system is, and whether he would receive a fair trial is unclear as well. It's certainly not his burden, the board would indicate, to ensure that he would receive an unfair trial. I think it's demonstrated by the record. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. Brennan. May it please the court, my name is Robert Brayman. I'm here from the Tax Division of the Department of Justice, representing the government in my first immigration case. The case comes here having been thoroughly reviewed. Mr. Zagarkhani first had one hearing before an immigration judge where he gave his testimony about the events he contended were the subject of or established his past persecution. The immigration judge was not convinced. Before the board, Mr. Zagarkhani asked that it be remanded back to the immigration judge because in the meantime his wife had appeared and he sought to introduce new evidence from after his departure from Albania to bolster his contention that he was subject to future persecution. He got another hearing before the immigration judge who was not persuaded by the additional evidence and stuck to his original opinion. The board reviewed the evidence and wrote its own opinion. So the case comes here having been thoroughly reviewed by the two fact finders. I don't see this as essentially a credibility case. The board didn't find Mr. Zagarkhani not credible. It accepted his testimony and found that it wasn't enough to establish persecutions. Therefore, it didn't even reach the issue of whether persecution was on account of political opinion or some other protected ground.
So you see this as, in the case of Mr. Zagarkhani, what is sometimes called kind of mere harassment as opposed to something that's persecution?
Yes. The evidence he gave for his persecution was not of sufficient menace and danger and immediacy and persistence to make the persecution claim.
Yeah. I mean, his father is beaten, I guess. Father eventually dies from this, or somehow or another dies, right?
His father's died, yes.
Yeah, right. I don't know what the record shows, whether it was a result of the beating or whether he just passed away. But and then there's his wife, who has the problem with the one document, but not with the other two. What are we supposed to do with your opponent's argument about the corruption of the system? You know, for all we know, somebody paid off the court to delete all reference to her detention.
Or her summons, I guess. The immigration judge and the board didn't find Mrs. Zagarkhani's testimony not credible. It accepted, reviewed her testimony, accepted that she had been detained. And I believe that the petitioner has taken the position that as to the one document, whether it was fraudulent or not, it doesn't really matter to their case. Even if it was fraudulent, it shows that the government, someone in the government would falsify a document to harass her.
Mm-hmm.
And the immigration judge didn't use that as evidence that Mrs. Zagarkhani was fabricating documents herself. He and the board just found the sum of the evidence that came in at the second hearing not all that persuasive. The testimony about the father's beating and the reason for it was essentially hearsay from a witness. The documents were somewhat questionable. He said he was troubled by the wife's appearance with his sister's passport. Without finding her not credible, he found the evidence that came in at the second hearing not terribly impressive as to the claim that there was a reasonably objective, well-founded fear of future persecution. Mm-hmm. Coming back to the question about the corruption of the courts, there isn't a suggestion that the corruption of the courts is the sort that empowers a government official to perpetrate a political-based prosecution. In fact, the country reports state that there isn't widespread or common political persecution. The government doesn't have the will or the means to prosecute these things.
But, of course, if you believed this certificate, which I recognize is the one that's called false, I mean, it's got all sorts of language in it about risk to the family that Mr. Zagarkhani, Arthur, is accused of a certain penal act. He's wanted. He has to return to Albania. His non-return worsens the ill treatment of his family, and all sorts of other things like that are in this certificate. So if you believed it, there would be maybe the kind of link to future risk that we would want to see. If he goes back, is it more likely than not that he'll be persecuted?
Well, maybe there's a link to a possible prosecution. But a prosecution is certainly a legitimate prosecution, and this could be legitimate prosecution, is not persecution.
It would depend. I mean, how deeply do we look into the legitimacy of prosecutions? We've put you in jail because you're a supporter of the wrong party. We say, oh, well, you know, that's a fine prosecution.
I don't know. But the prosecution here hasn't happened yet. It was merely threatened. Mm-hmm. In 1997, the board reached its opinion. I don't know who's in charge of the government now, to be honest, but the board reached its decision in 2003. The Democrats were not in power at the time.
Yeah.
This threatened prosecution was from a Democratic power period, and therefore it was.
So do you think it's impossible to have a political opinion if you're really a gadfly to both parties? You know, the Democrats don't like you because you've failed to do what you could to keep them in power, and the socialists don't like you because you've been affiliated with the Democrats?
That's an interesting question. I'm sorry I can't answer it. Again, the court here did not reach whether it was on account of political opinion or not, so I haven't undertaken to research that. Of course, it would be up to the agency to take the first crack at that and decide whether that was appropriate.
Okay.
Okay. No further questions. I'll stop.
Thank you, Mr. Rim. How much time? We have 2 minutes, Mr.
I have nothing further unless the panel has any questions.
That's fine.
Thank you.
Thank you to both counsel. The case will be taken under advisement. The court will be in recess.
Recess until we decide to come back.
Until whenever.